Chapter 2. Miffed by the man's insistence that she be the one to leave, Danny deliberately shucked her outer gear and hung it on the back of one of the stools at the breakfast bar. After kicking off her boots and tucking them off to the side, she casually strolled to one of the open cabinets and pulled a heavy mug down. "Would anyone else like coffee or hot chocolate?" she asked in a sugary voice. "I'll make my own coffee. After you leave."
"Terrific. I'll put you down for coffee on January 3rd.
Turning to his friend, Nick all but pleaded, "Do something, Dixon.
"We've got a spare room if you want to use it for a few days," the other fellow offered.
Losing his cool, Nick growled, "That's not what I meant, and you know it." Pacing away from the other two, Nick stopped in front of the far wall and looked up at the cross that still hung behind where his grandfather's pulpit originally stood. When the remodel of the century-old building had taken place in the 1930s, the builders had left the platform that ran the width of the room, and a vintage upright grand piano still sat on the far outside wall, just like it had in the late 1800s. But that is where the similarities ended. The original altar railing was intact, but it served more as a room divider than anything else, and the platform had become something of a reading nook. A wide electric fireplace had been added under the cross, and a boxy navy blue sofa sat across from it, its back to the rest of the room. On the wall opposite the piano, two plush chairs offered a comfy place to curl up with a good book, a shared ottoman positioned between them. And that is where Nicky plopped down. The window next to him displayed the chorus of angels that appeared in the night sky on that holy night so long ago, and he traced a line of the solder that held the tiny pieces of colored glass in place. Every member of his father's family had left their mark on the old church through the generations, as evidenced by the black and white photos that hung about the building. But he was suddenly the last man standing in that long line of Armstrongs, and his first year on duty found him evicted from the property. Grief hit hard and fast. Swallowing convulsively, Nick clamped his jaw shut and forced back the tide of tears. When he had his emotions under tight rein, the resigned man stomped back through the living area and growled, "Enjoy your stay," before he slammed the outer doors closed behind him. Danny's vivid blue eyes followed the ornery man's retreat, but there was something in the set of his shoulders that scrambled her joyful claim of the fantastic vacation spot.
"Is he going to be okay?"
The sleigh driver shrugged, but answered, "Now, don't worry, ma'am. We take care of our own in Sprucewood. You enjoy your stay, and I hope to see you at some of the events in town." Rolling her shoulders to release the tension caused by the confrontation, Danny offered the other fellow a tentative smile.
"I'm looking forward to it, especially the caroling, ice skating, and some of the contests. My family is originally from Southern California, and a snowy Christmas is something we don't often get a chance to experience."
Dixon nodded, replaced his Stetson, and showed himself out. He found Nick pacing along the riverbank and joined his guest. The men had only known each other for a few years, but their general love of the Almighty's handiwork in the great outdoors gave their friendship a firm foundation. Clapping a gloved hand over Nick's shoulder, he suggested, "Let's get you settled, and then head over to Perks and Pastries for something to warm us up." Nick grudgingly followed and resettled himself in the sleigh. The cheerful jingle of Dusty's bells and the lightly falling snow only exacerbated his upset, so the frustrated man held his tongue and tried to tame his sour thoughts. But as they neared the gift shop, Nick recalled the extra suitcase stacked in the back and his mother's contribution to the cottage. "I'll have to head back out there tomorrow," he grumped. "I've got the quilt Mom finished before she died, but the last bedroom will have to make do with whatever's there now. Mom pieced most of that blanket together, but it isn't finished."
"Maybe the ladies at the Stitch in Time can help complete the final quilt," Dixon suggested, drawing Dusty to a halt in front of the quaint gift shop.
Festive window displays featured Christmas villages, hand-knit sweaters, and a scene that looked like the inside of Santa's workshop.